When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 350 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Amanda Doan. Thank you, Amanda.
Thanks, Amanda.
You're
here for 350.
Yeah, that's a big number. We discussed that that's a big deal.
And that we probably should have planned something bigger than just getting Chipotle.
But we celebrated with Chipotle.
Yeah.
Cheers.
There's cookies upstairs.
There's gonna be.
Martin's making cookies.
Martin.
You ever called him that? I don't know if I have, actually.
I call him Mark.
Mark.
Mark and his hate chicken.
Mark definitely would not make us cookies.
No. Mark wouldn't. That's not in his wheelhouse. He would have sent me a shirt like the one that Marty texted me.
Yeah, that's Mark behavior.
That is Mark behavior.
Sorry to any Marks that are listening. This is not about you. It's about people not hearing Marty when he says his name at restaurants, and instead of Marty on the order, it's Mark.
Yeah.
Anyways, wow. Today we will be discussing part one of chapter 18 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, The Life and Lies of My Man, Albus Dumbledore.
Can you believe we're here?
No, it's gross. Make sure you've read that chapter and you're ready to agonize your way through the details.
Make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they will too. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish Flickcast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going and gives you access to all of our exclusive extras. As always, we are accepting Potter stories or just any fun stuff, questions, or concerns to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
Is that the recap?
Michigan Mike said, is Mark like Dream Marty? I said yes.
Yes! Yeah.
It's Dream Marty personified.
Absolutely Dream Marty's a bad man.
A bad man.
Oh. I don't know how to come back from
you this. You can't just read what you wrote.
All right. Super creepy stuff going on. Harry and Hermione go back to Bathilda Bagshot's house. It smells bad. It's dirty. It's dusty. Don't know if you could pay me to go in there. Turns out, Bathilda ain't Bathilda. She's Nagini in a meat suit and in a very big burst of chaos.
Did you ad-lib meat suit?
I did. Voldemort appears.
Harry got bit.
Hermione's curse breaks his wand, and they barely escape by jumping out the window and apparating. Oh, and I think, oh yeah, I said that. Harry's wand broke.
Yeah.
It sure did. Yeah.
Give me my wand.
Snap, crackle, and pop.
I don't know.
Oh, heavens. Okay. So, it is the morning after the battle with Voldemort and Nagini in Godric's Hollow. And Harry, this whole chapter is so sad. Harry's marveling at the fact that he's actually alive. He made it out of another run-in with Voldemort. He's able to breathe in this clean, fresh air in this beautiful wooded space. And it's just a miracle, right, that he's even alive. Yet, even given all of that, he still feels awful because of suffering another great loss, his wand. Quote, he looked out over a valley blanketed in snow, distant church bells chiming through the glittering silence. And I just wanted to note that this was interesting, and I've never really thought about it before, but even though it's a different church and different bells, but that's still how close everything still feels mm-hmm. from, you know, St. Jerome's Church. Also, Merry Christmas, everyone.
And happy holidays.
Warmest regards.
Warmest regards.
And happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, man. So this next little bit of writing, I think, is probably some of the author's best.
Stunning.
What?
Stunning.
Stunning.
Who says that?
It's a TikTok.
It's from the interview about the dragon show. And that lady was talking about the drink she likes.
Oh, the HBO thingy?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think so.
All right. Good joke. Sorry, I ruined everything. It's stunning. All right, here it is. Quote. Hold on, I want to zoom in because his eyes can't see. Without realizing it, he was digging his fingers into his arms as if he were trying to resist physical pain. He had spilled his own blood more times than he could count. He had lost all the bones in his right arm once. This journey had already given him scars to his chest and forearm to join those on his hand and forehead. But never until this moment had he felt himself to be fatally weakened, vulnerable, and naked, as though the best part of his magical power had been torn from him. Isn't that awfully amazing?
Yeah.
You can, like, feel, like, you can feel, like, the tension and, like, the heartache.
Yeah. So the one thing that has helped save him every time that he has met up with Voldemort and what he thinks is his greatest tool and weapon is now gone. And he is absolutely unable to repair it. The wand is only as good as the wizard, right? That's what Hermione keeps telling him. But in Harry's brain, quote, but she was wrong. His case was different. She had not felt the wand spin like the needle of a compass and shoot golden flames at his enemy. He had lost the protection of the twin cores. And only now that it was gone did he realize how much he had been counting upon it.
Oh.
Yes. It's devastating. Like, it's even more devastating reading it again this time after I've read it God knows how many times. Harry is absolutely breaking down at this point. Think about what he's been through in this short amount of time, okay? He was at his parents' graves. He was at his former residence that is blown up. He has seen the monuments to him and his family. He did not get the sword of Gryffindor. Bathilda was murdered. Nagini was inside Bathilda. He was bitten by Nagini. And Voldemort showed up. And his wand broke.
In the span of a couple hours.
In the span of a couple of hours.
That's a lot.
It's just a lot. And I'll tell you what. Mr. Potter has more emotional range than Teaspoon.
This is,
and
like,
he's feeling it.
A whole 10-gallon hat.
A 10-gallon hat.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You went from teaspoon to hat, but we'll measure that way. It's fine.
Well, I was going to say like a measuring cup, but that people wouldn't understand that I meant like one of those giant ones that you use as a bowl. But then I thought, what's bigger than that? 10-gallon hat.
What about a vat?
A vat.
A vat.
An emotional vat. Yeah. Yes, our courage is like that.
Oh, man. Quote, another quote, because it's just too good. He pulled the pieces of broken wand out of his pocket and, without looking at them, tucked them away in Hagrid's pouch around his neck. The pouch was now too full of broken and useless objects to take in anymore. Harry's hand brushed the old snitch through the moke skin, and for a moment he had to fight the temptation to pull it out and throw it away.
Thank you for not doing that.
Truly. Impenetrable, unhelpful, useless, like everything else Dumbledore had left behind.
We're here.
That part really hit hard when he was like, the pouch was now too full of broken and useless objects to take anymore.
That's how he feels. He himself feels that way.
Yeah. But also, like, literally, right? It's the mirror from Sirius. The snitch that he thinks is worthless.
Mm-hmm. Fake locket.
The fake locket. And now this. And now his wand. Like, I just feel bad for him.
And I just wish, and I don't know if I said it on a previous episode, because it would have been, it would have been, I would have talked about it when, I'm sorry, when Scrudgemere United showed up at the Burrow. But when he came out and was reading the will, everything had a purpose behind it. To Mr. Ronald Bilious Weasley, bleh. To Miss Hermione Jean Granger, bleh. Harry James Potter, boom for the snitch. There was a second bequest. And he just said the Sword of Gryffindor. And he didn't say anything with it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I want to know what Dumbledore wrote for him to maybe try and figure out what the sword was for. Because this is before he knew it was a Horcrux story, or before the Phineas Nigellus conversation in the tent when they were crying down bad. Okay?
Yeah.
Because, like, what would it have said? Because Hermione's was to find the Tales of Beedle the Bard instructive, right? Mm-hmm. I can't remember what Ron's was. But I wonder that, because that at least would have given a little bit of
direction.
Hope and direction for him. I don't know. It's just all awful.
Yeah.
So then on top of all of this, the fact that it was confirmed by the headstone of Dumbledore's mother and sister that he had also lived there. It's not just Rita Skeeter spouting her lies. Mm-hmm. He had experienced loss there as well. His mother and sister are buried there in the same graveyard as his parents, literally feet away.
Yep.
Ugh. And so Harry goes, like, back on his confidence in going to Godric's Hollow. He's like, it was a poop show. We shouldn't have gone there. It was a wild goose chase. There's no sword. There's no secret plan laid out by Dumbledore. Once again, he's left to grope in the darkness without any answers.
After this experience, I would feel so lost.
Just defeated, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, what now?
Yeah. I mean, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
And, my friends, on the tippy, tippy, tippy top of this poop hill, Voldemort now has the picture of the unknown thief.
Yep.
Yeah. Who he's been searching for.
So he really feels like he just messed everything up.
Everything. Everything.
I think he's also worried that Hermione is going to leave.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. I would think so. She would never.
I know, but
he's just in such a bad state. He didn't think
Ron would, though. Eh. You think he thought Ron... You think Harry knew Ron would leave?
I think Harry was at a point where he was sick of Ron.
I was just going to say, I bet he was hoping that Ron would leave. Not really wanting it. Not in that way. But,
oh my God, I need a break from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's sitting at the edge of the tent thinking all of this. And Hermione finally comes out and he notes that she's been crying and that she also looks like she's afraid of him. She brings him a cup of tea and she's got some information. She puts the life and lies of Albus Dumbledore right in his lap. And he's like, what? He's flabbergasted that she actually has this. She's like, took it from old Batty Bathilda's room. It ain't no big deal, right? And there's a note from one of the most wonderful people in the world ever inside this book. And I quote, "Dear Batty, thanks for your help. Here's a copy of the book. Hope you like it. You said everything, even if you don't remember it."
Ew.
Rita.
That's gross.
She's a trash human. An absolute trash human.
She admits to quite a lot in her book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right.
Of questionable things that she did.
Yeah. She reminds me of Lockhart getting her information in bad ways.
Mia said, "Journalistic integrity? Never heard of her."
She's not real. So Bathilda is obviously, or was obviously, in no fit state to read this book. And who knows when this was dropped off, whether it was Bagini or Bathilda, you know?
Bagini?
Bagini. She was not going to be able to read this, the note, or anything else, even before, you know, Voldemort and Nagini showed up. So Harry, in all his brokenness and hurt and anger, looks upon the cover of this book, and he feels a certain way, and he feels a surge of savage pleasure. Quote, "Now he would know all of the things that Dumbledore had never thought it worth telling him, whether Dumbledore wanted him to or not." He is so hurt.
Yep.
He is so hurt. And Hermione probably sees this expression and she's like, "You're still mad at me for the wand." And finally, Harry kind of like snaps out of that and he's like, "It is not your fault. I'm alive because of your quick thinking, you know?"
Yep.
And he did his very best to smile back. And so now they both turn their attention to the book. And as Harry turns the pages of the book that's never been opened, right? The spine has not been cracked.
It is not fragile.
It is not fragile.
The binding is fragile.
He searches for the picture of the unknown thief. And so when he finally finds it, his eyes go right for the caption.
Fozzie agrees.
Fozzie says, "Bork, bork."
Bork, bork.
Woof, woof.
Bork, bork. Harry just gapes at the last word of the caption, and it is Grindelwald. And this is shocking information to both of them, Harry and Hermione. And Harry just keeps searching through the book to search out Grindelwald, but he had to keep going back, and he found himself at the start of a chapter called The Greater Good. And he and Hermione began to read together. So it says, "Now approaching his 18th birthday, Dumbledore left Hogwarts in a blaze of glory. Head boy, prefect, winner of the Barnabas Finkley Prize for Exceptional Spellcasting."
Who's that?
Let me tell you. There's no information.
A wizard in Harry Potter.
Whose first name may be Barnabas and last name may be Finkley.
Are you ready? Yeah. Barnabas Finkley was a wizard, and the Barnabas Finkley Prize for Exceptional Spellcasting was named in his honor. Thus, he was presumably an exceptional spellcaster. That's
Thank you, Internet.
Is there an etymology on him?
There sure isn't.
Isn't a fink to, like, rat someone out? Finkley?
Yes. I think so. I think. I'm going to look it up.
Barnabas finds its roots in ancient Greek etymology derived from the combination of two Greek words. Barnabas signifies son of encouragement. In the historical context, the name Barnabas holds immense significance as it was bestowed upon an early Christian disciple of this fame. Okay, now what about...
Think. Inform on to the authorities.
Right, think.
An unpleasant or contemptible person.
He was also a British. This is not Barnabas. This is Dumbledore.
What?
Just making sure everybody knows I've moved on from Barnabas.
Oh.
British youth representative to the Wizengamot, which is literally like a title that's given to an underage wizard who is appointed to represent the wizarding youth of Britain during Wizengamot procedures. So like he was literally like at Wizengamot procedures as a youth.
Youths.
Two youths.
Gold medal winner for groundbreaking contribution to the International Alchemical Conference in Cairo.
Ooh.
As you would guess, this is what we know. It was an award given to Albus Dumbledore for his outstanding participation in the International Alchemical Conference in Cairo during his student years in the 1890s.
Sucker!
My Chemical Romance in Cairo.
My Chemical Romance in Cairo.
Exactly. Precisely. So next up for Dumbledore was a grand tour with Elpheus Doge. They had been staying at the Leaky Cauldron the night before they were meant to leave. And that is when That is when Albus got the owl about his mother's death. So in the book, Rita says that Doge wouldn't be interviewed for her book, but that he says Kendra's death was a tragic blow and that Albus giving up his expedition was an act of noble self-sacrifice. Albus had to leave for Godric's Hollow immediately after he gets that owl, obviously, and it wasn't to comfort Aberforth, because according to Enid Smeek, he was just throwing goat dung at her. Apparently, that's what Aberforth did.
Oh, Abby.
Rita says that it was to continue the imprisonment of Ariana. So Bathilda had befriended Albus by sending him a letter because she was impressed with his paper on trans species transformation and transfiguration today.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That is a mouth. Right?
And this is what started the family friendship between the Dumbledores and the Bagshots. So when Kendra died, Bathilda was the only person in Godric's Hollow who was on speaking terms with her. And Rita basically admits to coercing information out of a woman who isn't all there, but these are the deets. Bathilda says her death was due to a backfiring charm, and she said as well that Ariana was frail and delicate.
Her binding is fragile.
Yeah. Rita admits to using Veritaserum on Bathilda, and because of this, she can reveal for the first time his supposed friendship with Gellert Grindelwald, who is Bathilda's great-nephew.
Like, that you should be in jail.
How can she literally get away with that?
I know, and it's in her book. She just doesn't care.
I feel like people don't care. They just, well, look at who's in charge at the moment.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Isn't, like, Veritaserum, like, it's not up as high as Unforgivable Curses, but, like, you get in trouble for that, right? Like, you're not supposed to just, like,
so
use it.
It's awful.
It is awful. And it's, like, tasteless and odorless and stuff. You slip it in something.
Yeah.
Nobody's gonna know. I have a question, and I don't know if anybody has the answer for this.
It's strictly controlled by the British Ministry of Magic.
Well, that makes big sense. No.
Dogs do not lay eggs.
Thank you.
Answer your
Thank
question.
You. So, Bathilda wrote to Albus because of this thing he wrote in Transfiguration today, and that started the friendship.
Yeah.
When did he write that? If Kendra was still alive, that means it before he was 18.
Yeah.
He wrote something that, like, went and was, like, published in a paper.
Well, he won that award, like, in school. Like, when he was still in school.
Like, dang.
Yeah.
Him is smart.
Him is very smart. Let's talk about another smarty pants. Grindy. So they're still reading, and the name of Grindelwald pops up. So he's on the list of everything's capitaled. Most dangerous dark wizards of all time. And he would have been on the top spot if it wasn't for you know who. And I didn't remember this, but it makes sense now that I think about it, that he never, like, took his war, for lack of a better word, to Britain. He, like, never got there.
Yeah.
You know why? Why?
Dumbledore.
Because the blood pact.
Actually!
It is really interesting to read this now, having that story.
Yeah.
So Grindelwald was educated at Durmstrang, and he proved himself to be as brilliant as Dumbledore. But instead of going after awards and prizes like Dumbledore did, he did some twisted experiments on other students. And he was expelled when he was 16. Because, according to Rita, they couldn't handle him anymore. Which that seems to be true. So he traveled for a bit and then chose to come visit his great aunt in Godric's Hollow. That's Bathilda. And quickly became friends with Dumbledore. So here's a... Yes.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
So, Grindelwald, that whole thing was supposed to end with World War II, correct?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. So this is a trigger warning for World War II, Nazis, and the Holocaust. Okay, so according to the Holocaust Encyclopedia, quote, during World War II, a number of German physicians conducted painful and often deadly experiments on thousands of prisoners without their permission. Considering the inhumane conditions, lack of consent, and questionable research standards, modern scientists overwhelmingly reject the use of the results from the experiments in the camps. Key facts for this say, quote, many German physicians and scientists supported racial hygiene ideas before the Nazi rise to power. From 1933 on, they embraced the new regime's emphasis on biology and heredity, the new career opportunities, and the additional funding for research. Two, experiments centered around three topics: survival of military personnel, testing of drugs and treatments, and the advancement of Nazi racial and ideological goals. After the war, only a few of the biomedical experts who helped to implant and to legitimize Nazi racial hygiene policies were ever indicted or disciplined professionally, and many continued on in their careers. Disgusting. But I did know, just from knowing a bit about World War II history, that there were a lot of disgusting experiments that went on in camps. And I feel like that is lined up with Potter and Voldemort and Grindelwald and all of that. Once again.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to share that little bit.
Yeah, Grindelwald's story definitely aligns with that big time.
Hello, Swishers. I started taking Hormone Harmony because I was feeling a little bit down and off and experiencing some bad sleep quality. Also having cravings and bloating. But now it's easier to manage PMS with Hormone Harmony. It helps to support hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and it also improves sleep quality and occasional bloating and gas. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SWISH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SWISH for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So this is a quote from Bathilda from the book. "He seemed a charming boy to me, whatever he became later. Naturally, I introduced him to poor Albus, who was missing the company of lads his own age. The boys took to each other at once." Yeah, they did. They certainly did.
Katie.
They got on like a cauldron on fire.
Oh
my God. She says that.
Oh. They got on like a niffler and a shiny coin.
Yep.
That red!
That red! So she spills more deets under the influence, of course. They even wrote to each other in the middle of the night. Quote, "Yes, even after they'd spent all day in discussion, both such brilliant young boys, they got on like a cauldron on fire."
What?
"I'd sometimes
literally
hear
in your notes
an owl tapping at Gellert's bedroom window, delivering a letter from Albus. An idea would have struck him, and he had to let Gellert know immediately." It's weird to like see him referred to as just Gellert.
Gellert, yeah.
Yeah. So then Rita has a letter from Dumbledore to Grindy.
How did she get this?
Probably from Bathilda.
Maybe.
Not Bathilda's intention. I'm sure if she was willing to use the method she used, who's to say she didn't like put a sleeping something on her and went rifling through her house and found stuff.
You know? Yep. Accurate.
Yeah.
So, okay. It says, "Gellert, your point about wizard dominance being for the muggles' own good, this, I think, is the crucial point. Yes, we've been given power, and yes, that power gives us the right to rule, but it also gives us responsibilities over the ruled. We must stress this point. It will be the foundation stone upon which we build. Where we are opposed, as we surely will be, this must be the basis of all our counter-arguments. We seize control for the greater good, and from this it follows that where we meet resistance, we must use only the force that is necessary and no more. This was your mistake at Durmstrang, but I do not complain, because if you had not been expelled, we would never have met. Albus."
That's pretty selfish of my boy.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I will say, the one good thing I take away from this letter is, like, yes, he would have continued down this path if him and Grindelwald remained friends, if Ariana hadn't died, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think he would have ended up on the path of the good like he did, where he knew to stay away from stuff that he was attracted to, like power and, you know. But you can see in this letter that he's also, like, trying to counteract some of maybe the bad that him and Grindelwald are discussing.
You can see the difference in their characters.
Yeah.
Do I think he could have been influenced? Yes. Oh, am I glad God. He wasn't? Yes.
He would have been influenced. I mean, even if he wasn't falling in love, he was infatuated just with, you know, Grindelwald as a person, mm-hmm. as a speaker, as his personality that's absolutely infectious. And what he's spewing to Dumbledore is hitting home because of Ariana.
Yeah.
And
in the past, yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's a good point.
And then just to put the icing on the cake, we're getting along like a cauldron on fire.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Plus, like, you know, Albus is so smart, and so is Grindelwald, supposedly. So, like, I bet to, like, find someone, like, oh, like, you get it, like, certain things, you know, and they could, like, speak on a higher level, in quotes, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure it was some sort of kismet for them. So Rita claims that this letter is proof that Dumbledore once dreamed of overthrowing the statute of secrecy and establishing wizard rule over muggles. Quote, "What a blow for those who have always portrayed Dumbledore as the Muggleborn's greatest champion." It's such Bob Shorts. That's true at this time. But, like, people can change, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But, like, her whole book, I know, just paints him in an awful light for, like, all eternity. It's like, sure, yeah, you need to call out the bad stuff he did, but you also need, like, how much good did he do too, you know? Mm-hmm. They were only friends for barely 2 months. I totally forgot about that. And then they didn't meet again until their famous duel.
Short.
I know.
Yeah.
like
a summer fling, summer loving, having a blast.
Oh, walla walla walla. Tell me more. Tell me more. Did you get very far? Oh my god. That's great. So Bathilda's also quoted saying she thinks that them parting was because of Ariana dying. Quote, it came as an awful shock. Gellert was there in the house when it happened, and he came back to my house all of a dither, told me he wanted to go home the next day. Terribly distressed, you know. So I arranged a portkey, and that was the last I saw of him. It's just, that's such like a watered down version of what actually happened. You know, there's like such mystery around it.
Mm-hmm.
She says that Albus was beside himself and that it's dreadful that for the brothers because they had lost everybody except each other. It's weep womp, super sad. And she talks about Aberforth breaking Albus's nose at the funeral and how it would have destroyed Kendra to see her sons fighting like that. A shame Gellert could not have stayed for the funeral. He would have been a comfort to Albus at least. Would he, Bathilda? Would he, baddie? Don't think so. That's it for this part of the chapter.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm learning terms.
Yeah, I think it's really cute that you thought that we would know, but we are so out of touch. I have no idea what that means. What does U-hauling mean?
Look.
I literally heard that for the first time today.
See? It's because we're old. It's not because I'm straight.
Oh, I have heard that lesbians tend to be like that. Yeah.
Oh, whoops. McKenna said that. I didn't even see that because I was reading my notes. Yeah, like, I'm not kidding. I heard that within the last 3 hours, like, for the first time.
Oh, weird.
Oh, yeah. I totally read Astrid Parker. It's in there?
Yeah, she's like, yeah, I know the joke about, because she, well, I don't want to spoil it, but a present is given.
Mm.
She's like, it's not a ring. It's not. But it's something else. And what she's like, I know that it's a, I've heard the a joke book. About lesbians U-hauling after the second date.
Oh.
And that made me laugh. I have
no idea.
Well, look at that. I learned something new today.
Yeah, Subarus are a lesbian thing. Yep. Okay, lightning bolt round.
Poor people on the internet, not on Discord. Sorry. This is a Discord conversation rolled in.
Yeah, it's...
This is why you should be a patron. Then you'll know what we're talking about.
Right. Does Subaru own U-Haul?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I would love a Subaru, though. I would love to be in on that.
They're expensive, aren't they?
They're not too bad.
Not too bad.
Okay. Well, first up is a lightning question from me.
Okay.
Your Mark alter ego name.
Oh, I saw people in the Discord discussing this. It was really funny.
I think that mine's going to be Morgan. Morgan? Mm-hmm. Not that I don't like the name, but I just think it's different enough from Megan.
I don't know.
Hmm.
You're Casey.
Casey?
I get Stephanie when people mess up.
Oh
my
God, yes, you're Stephanie. Yes, Stephanie? Yeah, you're Stephanie. Okay. Sarkur, would a Dumble Chocolate Frog card have been able to aid them, or is it knowledge up to the time of the painting? I don't, do the chocolate frog ones talk?
I don't think so. I think they just act move? like a picture. Like a picture, yeah. Not yeah. a portrait.
Yeah. Yeah.
So no.
Portraits I feel like are different.
Yeah. And it has to be like painted in some specific way, doesn't it? Like with magic imbued in it.
Yeah. Probably. This is a good one. Marguerite, when you're feeling like Harry in this chapter, what do you do to make yourself feel better? I usually watch Harry Potter.
You watch yourself in a mirror.
Oh.
Sorry.
I eat comfort food. Unfortunately, they're camping and can't really do that, but yeah. That's my go-to. I eat comfort food and I watch a movie that brings me joy.
Yeah. Gilmore Girls, a workout or going outside. That helps. Cuddling.
Cuddling babies.
Taking a nap.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to be under a blanket. Hot tea.
Tea. Milky
and,
tea.
And the boys somewhere around me.
Mm-hmm.
Fillmore.
Yeah.
Liar.
Phil chooses her way more often than I want him to.
I don't know why.
It's Bob Shorts.
Because what?
It's that whole thing where you don't pay attention to them, they want you even more.
I do pay attention to them. As much as he wants, Katie.
Katie K, quick answers. How much chocolate would you need to get through this ordeal?
I don't like chocolate, so none.
What? How did I not know this about you?
I would need at least 3 packages of chocolate.
It's not, like, I'm not, that's not what I'm going for.
I would need at least 4 Mally's pretzel bars.
I was literally thinking that.
Those are the bomb. Like, the big ones. No, I was thinking,
like, the sheets?
Yeah, 4 of them. Yeah.
I mean, that would do the trick.
Yeah.
What about white chocolate covered digestives?
I like the milk chocolate ones better.
You're a fool. Oh, man.
Any more, ma'am?
This is an interesting one, and we don't have to talk about it for long, but Dusty Fur asks, do we think that the way that Harry feels about Dumbledore feel true with the way that readers now feel about the author? We all thought she was accepting of everyone, only to find out years after the series ended that she believes all the things she wrote against in her books. I think it's a fair comparison.
I think there's parallels there, for sure.
It's ridiculously unfortunate.
Disappointing. And
harmful.
Harmful, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do think that the author is worse. Because it's more, I don't know, they're both pretty bad. No? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, she's real, so.
I know, worse. That's where I'm like, obviously, worse. She's worse. But like, yeah. It's a fair comparison, though. Yeah. Gil.
This is Discord discourse or Lightning Bolt?
Lightning Bolt.
Okay. Sorry. Gil's also in the Discord discourse. Oh.
Compare Voldemort and Grindelwald. Who's more dangerous? Who's better? Who's got the following and the strategy?
Wait. Dumbledore or Voldemort? Voldemort?
Did I say Dumbledore?
I don't know.
Voldemort and Grindelwald.
I honestly wasn't listening to you. What'd you say?
Compare Voldemort and Grindelwald. Who's more dangerous? Who's the better villain? And who's got the following and the strategy?
I think Grindelwald is technically more dangerous.
Voldemort doesn't care. There's no remorse there. He does nothing in the end for anything. At least Grindelwald lied about the wand.
True.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Cookies in 15 minutes.
Yes.
That's fair.
Okay.
The cookies are what I said.
Both.
Okay.
Mac Energy. As Voldy has a tragic origin story, do we think Grindelwald has one? Or was he born evil, greedy, and arrogant? Does he have a tragic backstory that made him the villain he was? Or do we think he really was pure evil?
I don't believe that anybody is born evil.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Agreed. I don't know.
So I would assume, just like all of us, real people, you know, there's some story there.
Yeah.
Well, look at why Dumbledore, like you just said, look why Dumbledore was all into this way of thinking because of what happened in his family.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It would have created that.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine if Dumbledore went evil?
I need one. You know those like he would have alternate been the worst villain. Reality Disney books?
Yeah.
I need one for Dumbledore.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Umbridge
has got a story too. Doesn't mean we have to like it.
And Snape.
Snape has a big story.
Discord discourse. Gil. This part kills me. His wand is an extension of himself, and he's more vulnerable now than he's ever been. Mm-hmm. Which is very true. Mm-hmm. Sarker. Now I'm down bad crying in the tent, waking up in the forest, staring up at the Hogwarts Express. Come back and pick me up. Michigan McKenna. Honestly, the little Hagrid bag is a great parallel to Harry shoving all the little broken pieces of his feels into a little corner and ignoring it.
Oof.
Dang.
Felt.
And Michigan Mike gave us lyrics to Summer Lovin'.
Sing it, Megan.
We should all sing it. Summer Lovin'. Spells going blast. Summer Lovin'. Plotting evil so fast. I met a boy.
Brilliant like me. I met a boy. Gullible as can be. Summer days, muggles will pay to those summer fights. Oh, well, oh, well, oh, well, oh. Jinx me more, jinx me more.
That was great.
Thank you, Mike.
Beautiful.
All right, fan story.
This comes from Shannon.
Hello, Shannon. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, all.
Hi, Shannon.
I love the delay, and you're like, oh, oh me, I gotta do it too.
Whatever.
You're so cute.
Tell us the story.
Yeah, what are you doing?
What if I just refuse to talk anymore?
Well, then we'll read it. I'm a relatively new
fan.
I am a relatively new fan of Swish and Flick, and I'm so happy I found your podcast.
What year is this?
Not this year.
Okay.
I don't think. I don't know, Tiffany. Okay. I commute almost 2 hours every day for work and appreciate the insightful, thought-provoking, and ever-so-funny discussions of all things Harry Potter. I'm still kicking myself for taking so long to find the podcast.
Nah.
Yeah, where were you?
We could hear the whole time.
Okay, so. Harry Potter is my life, obviously. My cousin, who is 10 plus years older than me, introduced me to the series when she babysat me as a child. I instantly became hooked and constantly thank her for reading the books to me when she would look after me. To this day, she constantly rags on me for the following. I would bookmark every single spell in every book, transfer them to a little notebook of my own, and publicly practice them with a pencil as my wand. My heart was set on someday magically attending Hogwarts. To be honest, it still is. Harry Potter has given me a following to feel welcome with, and I am so happy to find comfort in reading the series over and over. Also, fun fact, I went to the Prisoner of Azkaban movie premiere in 2004 and got this cool, kind of cheesy, somewhat limited edition mini Lego night bus at the theater that I still have and cherish.
Amazing.
I attached a link to what it looks like in case you guys were wondering what it looked like. I didn't see the link. I'm going to have to find this email again. Thanks to the laughs, best Shannon, Gryffindor House.
Gryffindor!
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Shannon. I want to know what the Lego looks like. Catherine.
Sorry, I'll try to find it.
But first, tell us your joke.
But also, thank you Shannon. For your story.
Yeah, thank you, Shannon.
For your story.
Yes.
I love that you wrote down all those spells. One day, one's going to work for you.
Roar,
it's because you're
Gryffindor.
Using a pencil. You need a wand.
Write a spell?
No, to cast a spell. Okay, so this, I talk all the time about how these joke books have terrible jokes, right? And they're each, like, for a different house. This one is stupefying shenanigans for Slytherins.
Is that why the joke's mean?
What?
Is that why it's mean?
Yes, all the jokes in here act like they are the epitome of, like, fourth year Draco Malfoy.
Oh,
we'll a go ferret. Third year. We'll go third year. He was a little. Yeah. So keep that in mind, okay? Like, think of the stereotypical Slytherin. That's who wrote this joke.
Megan.
Just wait for it. What's the most unrealistic thing at Hogwarts?
Your talent.
That Ron Weasley has two friends.
Oh! Can't make this up.
That's awful.
I know.
Oh my god.
That's good.
It's so mean.
That's funny.
Like, isn't that something Draco would say?
Yeah.
In his prime.
Yeah.
That I haven't laughed like that at one of your jokes in a while.
That was a good one. These are not my jokes.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
They're Brian Boone's.
Brian Boone, you're mean.
my God.
Sir Kirsten Malfoy ghost wrote that joke.
100%.
Juicy Decipher's
Burn! Well, oh. If you would like to follow us on social media, myself and Katie are on Instagram and TikTok at the Petrus Family. Tiffany is on Instagram and TikTok at tiffswish_flick. Marguerite got bingo.
What? Really? I didn't even see that.
Really? Really?
Wait, did she? Or was this copy-pasted?
Did she?
Oh, she did not. Oh,
no.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my bad, guys.
Where to go, Tiffany?
Sorry.
Where to go, Tiff?
Sorry.
Marguerite's like, what? News to you. You got bingo.
House Cup standings, y'all. They are as stands. Oh, no.
Yes! Dude, that was on camera. Gryffindor! Gryffindor!
By 5 measly points.
Whatever, I'll take a win.
Gryffindor is in first place. Slytherin is in second. Ravenclaw's in third. And Hufflepuff is in fourth.
Hufflepuff is in mega fourth, okay?
Yeah, what's mega up with that?
Super what's fourth? A mega fourth?
Oh man, that's amazing.
What's this episode for? Frickin' Gryffindors.
I think it's My Chiro Romance.
My Chiro Romance. Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
This is for Ron Weasley's two friends.
Yes, exactly. Oh my God. Most unrealistic thing at Hogwarts.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. What's it for?
For Slytherin being in first next time.
Not if you play fair.
I always play fair. I don't know what you're talking about.
Can you say those again and look me in my eyes?
I always play fair.
And you never scheme?
Never. I never scheme.
That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening. And don't let the muggles get you down.
Lie.
I never lie.
Oh, heavens to bet.
Amazing. Talk to my boys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.